So I want to move on and talk a little bit about biliary cancer. And Alan, we wanted you to address a number of clinical questions that we've received. What constitutes biliary cancer? Is there any difference in management based on the location? What's your usual first and second line therapy? Is there a role for next generation sequencing? Would you like to comment on some of those questions?
Sure. So biliary tract is actually part of the GI system, and it's the bile ducts within the liver, the small radicals up to the common bile duct, the gallbladder, the cystic duct, and then the extrahepatic bile duct as it passes through the pancreas and enters the small intestine at the ampulla of Vater. So that's all biliary. I often tell one of my colleagues in the patients with pancreas cancer who seem to do very well that it may very well be a bile duct cancer that happens to be located in the pancreas, because the biology is quite different on average. Now, the big difference is I think there's more and more awareness of peripheral cholangiocarcinomas, which are peripheral bile duct cancers that I think have a very different natural history than the others. Gallbladder cancer, intrahepatic and extrahepatic biliary cancers, or at least how to subset them, and we should probably subset them more. The unifying factor is, of course, all of these patients, the major driving force of their survival and their quality of life will be both the metastatic disease and the bile flow. And I think if you can affect adequate bile drainage, patients will do much better than if you don't. And some of this is a function of where the disease is, how they present, your ability to stent them. Some people will have stents that can last for a year without problems, and other people will have infections repeatedly every 3 weeks, and you can never get an opportunity to do anything with them. So there's that. My approach, for example, on a peripheral cholangiocarcinoma is often to watch the patient for a few months, because many of these tumors are found incidentally. But of course, most patients with gallbladder or bile duct cancer that causes jaundice or symptoms are different. Now, gallbladder cancer tends to be a more virulent disease, I think, with visceral metastases. It tends to be a bad disease. The only time you cure gallbladder disease is when you find it coincidentally, more or less, when you do a cholecystectomy and find a confined gallbladder cancer. And then intrahepatic bile ducts depends on where. So the unique patient is the one with the Klatskin's tumor, for example, which is a tumor right at the bifurcation of the right and left ducts. And those are curable patients because they present early enough before they've metastasized. And there's a recent paper actually looking at transplant for those patients, for unresectable patients. And in fact, there are some long-term survivors. But that's a subset. Patients who have more bulky...
Liver transplant.
Liver transplant for Klatskin's for early cholangiocarcinoma with excellent outcomes. That was from Mayo Jacksonville, actually.
Mayo has a large transplantation program for cholangiocarcinomas.
Involves chemoradiation.
Chemoradiation, brachytherapy.
Right. So you do find some of these patients will do very well, but you have to be super selective. Most of these patients, you know, the cancer tends to track up, be insidious and track up the bile duct, and you often have trouble getting a clean margin. But again, I think we tend to split. So gallbladder is different than the intrahepatic cholangio is different than the more central cholangio.
Let me chime in here. I mean, one of the issues while this liver transplantation program came about is a lot of patients actually have a pre-existing condition called PSC, like inflammatory bowel disease, PSC, cholangiocarcinoma. So similar to liver cirrhosis, you actually transplant a new organ and eliminate the extra causative disease for the pre-malignant condition.
And I should say that one problem with the transplant literature is it's not easy to get tissue diagnosis in some of these patients. So actually, there was a paper in the transplant journal that Katie Kelly and I wrote a commentary on, an editorial on, where the long-term survivors were overrepresented by people who never had tissue confirmation. So you do probably transplant some people and treat them who may not have malignancy.
I had a patient like that.
Yeah.
Yes.